This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Karen Pryor. You might be familiar with a previous book called Don't Shoot the Dog. Her newest title is Reaching the Animal Mind.
Well, hello. Thank you, Diana. It's so nice to be here.
There was a time you were known as the world's foremost dolphin trainer. Perhaps you still are. Now your name is in the high echelons of dog trainers. When did you enter that new field?
Well, when I wrote Don't Shoot the Dog, I meant it to be the book that would tell everybody how to live without punishment and force. I wanted it to be the book. It was a book not about dogs at all. It was a book about training without punishment, training with not just being nice, but training with a new technology which allowed us to teach with positive reinforcement and clear signals. But I aimed it mostly at people. And it was the publisher who slapped that name, Don't Shoot the Dog, on it.
I
hated the names.
Well,
I've gotten resigned to it because it brought me about 500,000 new friends, and those were all dog trainers. And they bought it because they thought it was about dogs. And then they discovered it wasn't about dogs, but it definitely was about training without force. And many people were beginning to swing away from the traditional choke chain, show them who's boss, be the dominant, you know, the old-fashioned training. And this was kind of a new thing. So it developed a whole new audience for the book, which came around and started asking me to talk to them about dog training. And that's how I started being a dog trainer.
Back to your days as training dolphins, if you look back on those days, you didn't use a clicker.
No, with the dolphins, we use a whistle. It doesn't matter what you use, a clicker, which sounds like this, or a marker, a whistle, which sounds like a whistle, or you might use a flash of light, but it needs to be something very crystal clear that's different from everything else in the environment, some kind of stimulus that has no other meaning except, that's right, you're doing exactly what I like and I'm going to pay you for it. So that needs to be short and sharp and clear. For the dog trainers, they used a whistle to give commands to their dogs and stuff. So the clicker, they just loved the clicker. And that's why it became clicker training and became so popular with thousands of dog trainers.
What's the science behind clicker training?
The science is Skinner's operant conditioning. In the laboratory, he studied the principles of how reinforcement affects subsequent the behavior that caused the reinforcement. How behavior that leads to reinforcement, how that changes the behavior. It's really what comes after the behavior that makes different things happen, not what comes before. I was fascinated with his science when I became a dolphin trainer. All dolphins are trained this way. And it's really still very unappreciated. It's extremely powerful tools, which are all for the good. And so I've been interested in ever since, and I'm still here I am, many years later, still teaching people how to click instead of swat.
Yeah, that is basically it, right?
Yeah.
Click instead of swat. Yeah. Have you ever had an occasion with a dog that couldn't be trained?
Sometimes, you know, you do. No, of course not. No, we haven't yet to find a species of animal that doesn't respond to this, all the way down to fish and crabs. We have had clicker-trained crabs. Actually, you don't use a clicker because a crab can't hear a clicker, but you can train virtually any organism. Now and then, you do find dogs that are sufficiently crazy so that you can teach them things, but you can't necessarily turn them into safe, friendly, good dogs. And that's genetic. That's genetic, comes from inbreeding or genetic harm. You do see some dogs like
that. Like the stories in the newspaper about Rottweilers?
Well, it's not necessarily. Some Rottweilers are lovely, but yes, it might be this breed or it might be that breed, but sometimes you do get dogs that are genetically unbalanced in their behavior.
Right.
To the point of being dangerous.
You've spoken about Don't Shoot the Dog. You've written other books about animal training. What does your new book bring that's new?
Well, this is really, Reaching the Animal Mind is kind of a summary of what happened in the 20 years that followed Don't Shoot the Dog, when people began using these techniques, not only with animals, with lots of animals, lots and lots of dogs, I mean thousands and thousands, with horses all over the country, all over the world, really, because thanks to the internet, these techniques spread very fast and very far. In the zoos, all the zoos nowadays are beginning to use this with all of their animals as a gentle and safe way to teach them to accept medical care, for example.
Give an example of how that would work.
Well, okay. In every zoo, there are feral cats running around in the underbrush. They may not have a lot of them, but they're there. People turn them loose or the cats find their way. And those big cats, those valuable rare specimens, and not just lions and tigers, but servals and caracals and all these exotics, they are susceptible to exactly the same diseases as your house cat is. So all of those animals need to be vaccinated. But you can't just walk up to a tiger and say, lie down, I need to give you a poke with a needle. You can, however, pull out a clicker and meat on a stick like lollipops for tigers and shape bit by bit a behavior of the tiger coming over to the wall, leaning against the bars and allowing you to first touch its shoulder, then to press its shoulder, then with maybe a pencil point. And the rule is stand here and put your nose against this bar, this place. And no matter what I'm doing, until you hear the click, and then I'll give you a treat. And so until, even though I'm doing this, will you stand there even though I'm doing this? And eventually the shot goes in and the animal doesn't mind at all. We do it with okapis, gorillas, everybody. They take their medications. And that simple vaccination, I mean, the gorillas right now here at the Denver Zoo are getting their flu shots, I guarantee you. They need them just the way we do. And they're getting them by just giving the shoulder, take the shot, and get what they like is, you know, those yellow different colored candies. I forget what they're called, squizzles or something.
Yeah.
Well, the little candy, you get something special for getting your shot.
I recently read your description of what it was like to work with a dog you didn't know on Good Morning America.
Oh, I'm always working with dogs I don't know, because I like that. I don't want you to think that I have already a relationship with this dog.
No, and that's what you do when you teach classes, right? You work with dogs that are strangers to you.
Well, I don't teach classes, actually. I teach trainers. I teach the people who teach classes. But sometimes, in a lecture or whatever, I want to do a demonstration. And I get a dog from the shelter that I've never seen before. So Good Morning America talked about reaching the animal mind. They wanted to discuss the book when it was just came out, and I offered to train a shelter dog for them. They went and found a shelter dog. It needs for a short, fast demo, it needs to be a young, hungry, bouncy dog that jumps all over everybody, wants to jump up and lick your face, completely uncontrolled but harmless. And also a dog that's not afraid of people. This is an outgoing sort of a dog. So they found an outgoing sort of a dog like that. I had 10 minutes with it the day before in the shelter. And in that time, I taught it to bump my hand, my open hand, touch my hand for a click and a treat. And it discovered that I would click if it sat. I think somebody had already taught it that, whoever owned it first. It had been given up for adoption because the people had to move, I think, or something. Very nice dog. It was a purebred golden, actually. And I taught, but that's really all it learned, and maybe a sit. And it also learned to kind of hang out with me. Oh, this lady is a lot of fun. Boy, does she have hot dogs. We worked a little. She had maybe 15, 20 clicks. And I didn't see her again until I saw her on the stage at Good Morning America. And she remembered her sit right away. She remembered touching my hand. The first thing she did was jump up on me. So I that was nice because I could show the audience what you do if you're a clicker trainer. Nothing. And after a while, jumping up got her nowhere, so she put her paws in the ground and I clicked just as her paws went down. The next time she started to jump up, you could see her go, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't work. I know what works, and put her paws on the ground, and then she'd get another click and a treat. She was fine. I was the one who was a nervous wreck because there were so many disturbances. There was 300 people in that room.
Right.
There was a rock band with a singer, when the rock and other dogs and a lot of technicians and the cameras, it was crazy in there. I was afraid she'd be frightened. So when she was standing with the shelter folks on the one side waiting for our turn, we had too many rehearsals for that little dog. She was getting tired. And the rock band made a terrible noise. I clicked in the middle of that noise. She heard that. And I ran over and gave her a piece of hot dog. And then I did that twice, and then she thought terrible noises or something I get clicked for. So here's a dog that just in that experience has gotten over being afraid of loud noises. Amazing.
Thank you. My guest is Karen Pryor, author of Reaching the Animal Mind, published by Scribner. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.